I read these words this week. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. We read this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. And I just wanted to start with a question this morning. What are we holding on to so tightly that to give it away would make you sad? When we moved to Nottingham in 2003, the Christian Centre that we were a part of had just announced that they were going to build a building. They purchased the piece of land across the road, and they were just about to endeavour on a building project. And everybody was encouraged to stop, to pause, and to ask God how they could play their part. Smar and I weren't even married. We were planning on getting married. Lots of our resources and the things that we had were tied up into thinking about the home that we were going to buy, the marriage that we needed to go through, all the costs associated to that. But one thing that we did own was that in 2001, the Lord had blessed us and we were able to buy a brand new car. And I gulped. Because I realized that I owned something, that I could do something with what we had. We didn't have natural resources, but we had something. And I felt the Lord challenge us. So a little while later that year, I watched a truck pull into the Christian Center. And my car was wheeled onto the back of this truck, and it was taken away, and we sold it. And what we saved from that car, we invested into a building project, some immediately and some over the next 3 years. It cost us. But the joy of giving something away and seeing what God did in our lives far outweighs what we did. And I'll continue that story a little bit later. Today, we're at the part in our Acts 2 scripture where we're talking about the generosity, where it says that they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. We're believing that God has called us to be a church that's devoted to Him, devoted to His teaching, His fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayer. A church that is together, that we stand with a common purpose and a unity, that as we strive forward together, that God is going to do some amazing things amongst us. We believe that we are to be a church that is so full of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that He has free reign, free rule to move amongst us. Signs and wonders, words of prophecies, gifts being used across the church. A church that's so generous that every need is met. A church that continues to reach out and see lost people found, and a church that continues to grow. And as I said, for a few moments this morning, I want to talk to you about generosity. Now, when I talk to you this morning about generosity, I'm going to talk to you about three things. I'm going to talk about our time. I'm going to talk about our talent. And finally, I'm going to talk about our treasure. Now, let me make a few things clear before I teach this morning. We understand that teaching around this subject can sometimes be sensitive. And I hope this morning that we'll bring something of our heart with it, that we've gathered around some sensitivity in our message. But we want to be clear that we believe in generosity. Samara, I want to thank you for your amazing generosity, both your regular giving and through the missions offerings of this house. We have given thousands of pounds away over these last couple of months to mission through your generosity. There's also several people in the room that have blessed us personally, either our children with some little gifts, or maybe it was Thursday when I arrived for the children's meeting and someone said, come to the kitchen, and there in a box was a donut. Just a little blessing at the end of a very long day. When I'd been on the go since 6 o'clock, I came across for the prayer meeting, which was at St. Nick's. The church across the city gather for a monthly prayer gathering. I'm aiming to profile that for the next one. It'd be amazing for as many of us to go there. It's a nice early start, 7 o'clock. And I felt that I'd done really well getting up at just before six and getting in my car and driving up the motorway until I met Francis from Bestwood Park Methodist Church, who told me that they left on their tandem at 5 a.m. I suddenly felt that my little trip at the M1 with my well-heated car slightly just didn't quite do it. But I want to say this to you, that we personally are not teaching on this subject this morning because we need your money. I'm not preaching on it because we need your time or your talent either. I want to say that God doesn't need it. He owns everything. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need it and he doesn't want it. But we understand that he is a giving God. He so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only son. He gave the thing that was the most precious thing to him, so that me and you could find eternity with him. But you know what? He doesn't want our money. He doesn't need our money. It's far more greater than that. Because what he's after is our hearts. And if he has our hearts, he has our whole. He has everything. Nothing is off limits. I want to say this, that Samar and I do not know what each individual sat here this morning give. We have no desire to know. Our finances are managed by the wonderful Dawn, and Dawn produces reports for us about what's been given so that we can budget effectively and well. But we do not know what each person in the room gives. But we know that counting things matter. You know, if you're not here for a couple of weeks, we know about it, because since Samar and I started here, we keep not a register at the door, but we know who's been in and who's been away, because it's our responsibility to ensure that you're cared for well. We don't count the people here because we're bothered about the bodies on the seats. We count because we care about you. We care about you, and we want to know that you're okay. And it is our heart, along with many people. I've spoken to several people, some who are in the room this morning, other people that aren't able to be with us still. And the amount of times I've heard this week, oh, that person came to see me, or that person's done that for me, or this is church. It's not just our responsibility. This is the church's responsibility to care and to love one another. All of what we do as a church is paid for by the generosity of the people sat in the room. There is no magic pot. We don't have any funding. It is all paid for by the people sat in the room that sacrificially give week in, week out. And this is not an opportunity for us to give. It's not an opportunity for an appeal. This is not me telling you this morning that we're just about to embark on a building project and we need you to consider everything. So you can all now breathe, relax, and just listen in. But things matter, and we count the things that matter. This week, the Lord, as I was preparing this, said this to me: Rob, I own it all. Rob, I own it all. Everything that we are, everything that we have it because he has blessed us, because he has given it to us, and he owns it all. And if we understand this morning that a portion of our time and our talent and our treasure giving back to the one who gave us everything that we have, he doesn't need our stuff because he already owns it. All of what we have has already come from him. For those of you that have had the privilege of having children, I remember ours, and I've heard it in many households since, when there's a little bit of a tussle over a toy or something that they've had, it's mine. But nothing of what we have is ours. It's all he is. And he has blessed us with it. And if we believe that all we have is his, we will know the joy of giving back a portion of our time, our talent, and our treasure. We're also aware of the cost of living crisis that's already been talked about this morning. But you know, whenever I've been in a crisis before, the lessons that I've learned is my giving is not the first thing to pull in. In fact, I never have pulled my giving in. During the pandemic, we lost the businesses, not literally, but all of our income through the business disappeared. Samara was meant to start a new job on the 23rd of March, which was the pandemic announcement, which never happened. I had just finished working for Trinity Life Church. So literally, overnight, our income went from that to nothing. But we continued to see need all around us. And as we gave, and as we continued to be obedient to God, he continued to meet our need. We never once went into financial problem, difficulty, and never once dipped into any of our savings. What is God calling us to be generous with? He's calling us to be generous with our time. Every person in the room has the same 168 hours a week. It is how you spend those hours that matter. You know, I've got teenage children. I often sit with them and have this conversation because they often say to me, I just don't have enough time. No, they have exactly the same amount of time as everybody else does. Oh, I've not been able to study for that subject, but however, I've managed to watch hours of that series on the telly. It's the priorities of life. And the things that matter to us, we'll invest in. We're called to be generous with our talents, the gifts that God has given us. I've got gifts, you've got gifts. You've got gifts that I've not got, I've got gifts that you've not got. And together we are an army of people that can do amazing, great things for God because we bring our talents and we put them together. We bring our time and we put it together and we bring our treasure, our hearts, our everything. And God is able to work in and through it. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. As I've already said, we all get the same number of hours in a week. Let me ask you this question. How are you spending yours? There is a time for everything. We make time for the things that matter most to us. We all have things that we enjoy doing. But sometimes God may come and ask us for a little bit of that time. It's what we do to make that time, to create that time. You see, it's right that we have rest and that we work. There's many people in the room that have retired. I'm not sure I'm looking forward to those days, but I'm looking forward to just a different speed of life at some point in the future. We can all invest our time loving each other, which I've already talked about. Loving our family, loving our friends, loving our neighbors. We should create time for ourselves, for recreation. I love walking, and I've accompanied my walking with coffee. I love coffee. And I love walking. I walk around 70 miles every week, but there's not many walks that I do that doesn't include a coffee. Recreation time for myself, and it's important to have that. But can I just say to you that if you don't serve in any way in the life of this church, we need you. We need you to give a portion of your time to the life of the church so that we can be more effective, And as we continue with our heart and our vision and our values, all of that will become more and more evident as we begin to see new things spring up and challenged. What I also want to say in that is that there's gift and talent in the room, some dreams and desires, some things that you've longed for all of your life. And one of the things that Samara and I love the most is seeing people released into the things that they have a passion for. Dawn has been talking to me for a number of weeks about the well-being group that we're going to start here. Something really simple, but a heart for people that have got some mental health challenges, to be able to come in, to have friendship and to do activities and for us to open our hearts. But we're going to need three or four people alongside Dawn to make that effectively run. Is that something that you can do? What are we doing with our time? But what about our talents? 1 Peter 4:10 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God made you and me unique. When he made me, you'll be pleased to know he broke the mold. The world doesn't need two Rob Gales, but the world needs all of us with our unique gifts, our unique skills. And if we all come together, one of the pictures that Samar and I have often loved is this picture of an army. You know, if it's just one or two people doing all of the work, it can feel very isolated. But when all of us get involved, when all of us play our part, it's an army of people that get ready to go somewhere to see something amazing for God. Using our gifts that we've received to serve others. You know, one of the things that we see and we've seen over many years of leadership is people that hide and bury their treasure. Not their treasure, their talent. They hide it. They bury it. They do it for several reasons. Some people do it because they don't want to come across as if they're all it. And we don't need all it people, but we do need your gifts. Please don't hide them. Bring them to the front. If you've got a heart, a passion for something, talk to us. And we will do all that we can to see those things released and to become a reality. I have no desire to be anyone else. I want to ensure that I am me and that I do not bury the gifts and the treasure that he has invested in me. Can I ask you, have we buried our talents? What is it that God is calling you for? When we talk about this subject of generosity, and I'm going to get on to talking about our treasure in just a few moments, and I'll begin to talk about tithing. Some people come up with different theories, and I've heard people talk about law and grace and different things. But let me just present something to you about an idea that's in the Bible about the first that we have belongs to God. And this is referenced in the Bible before we get to the law. So it's not about law. It's not just about grace. But this was way before this time. Genesis 4:3 says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Genesis 4:3, before the law. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. Genesis 22, verse 2. the first things belong to the Lord. Genesis 28, 20 to 22 says this, "Then Jacob made this vow, 'If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place of worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything that he gives me.'" Genesis 28. And then even in Exodus, seven chapters before the law is presented, says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offspring to be born of both humans and animals belong to me.'" The first things in our lives belong to God. And then we read this in Matthew chapter 5, 17 to 19. Jesus says, "Don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets, nor I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So before the law, in the law, and fulfilled in Jesus." You see, grace is the starting point of where the law leaves off. In Malachi 3:10, we read these words, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in your house." So we talked about this tenth. This is what tithe means. It's a tenth of what we have. In the verses that we read earlier, it was a tenth of everything that we have. There's command, but there's promise, "that there may be food in my house. And see that I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it." There's command, there's promise, but there's also an encouragement that I purposefully missed out. It says this, "Test me. Test me in this. And in all the years that I have put God to the test, he has never, ever, ever failed. As we have obeyed the command, as we have received the blessing, and as we have tested him in this, I preach from experience that I know that he is faithful." It says in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." You know, sometimes we hold on to something that we have. We keep it, it's precious. But we live in an upside down kingdom. And when we honor the Lord with what we have, he causes increase to happen. He causes us to have an abundance, because what I've known is as we've honored the Lord with what we have, he pours back into our laps, not so that we can be more rich, but so that we can be more generous and pour back out into the lives of others. Do you know what? Sometimes it can be harder to be generous with our time and our talent than it can with our treasure. Sometimes as Christians, we almost live as the tick box. Well, I've given my tithe, or I've given my offerings. But the Lord wants our hearts. He wants everything. And if he has everything, If he has our heart, he has it all. We do not believe, I want to say this morning, in a prosperity gospel, and that's not what I'm preaching. But I do believe that the God is able to bless us if we just grasp the principle that we're blessed to be a blessing. I told you about the car that we gave away. You know, for one day, Samara said to me, well, how are we going to get around? Samara wasn't even living here at that point, but I said, it's all right, there's buses. And I remember walking, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? So on the night that we gave the car away, we had a family evening, you'll remember them, at T Street, Tawny and Marina. We had a family evening, and I was there looking after some children because I headed up the kids' work. And as I got to the top of T Street onto, is it Alfreton Road, the bus going to Aspley. In fact, we were married. We was you. We was married. I was living in Aspley, of course. So I got to the top of the road to catch my bus to Aspley, where we lived at the time, and the bus went past. I stood there. It was winter. It was cold. It was raining for 40 minutes for the next bus to arrive. And I got home to Samara and I said these words to her, tomorrow we're going to buy a car. I went to our bank account. I counted our money. We had £150 in the bank. I was not convinced that I was going to get anything, certainly of any value or substance for £150. But I looked in the Evening Post and I saw in St. Anne's that there was a car for £150. It was a G-Reg red Ford Escort. I was petrified because I'd heard about St. Anne's. The guy said that you can only come and see the house at about 6:30 tonight. It was pitch black. It was dark. I was going into a community that I'd never been into before. I was scared. And as I got on the bus, I do still believe that it was an angel. And I said to this person, I said, I'm looking for this house. And they said to me, I will take you there. And I was taken to the house and I turned around to thank that person and he'd gone. Needless to say, I invested the £150 in the car because I felt that I'd been taken to the place that I was needed to be. Anybody that knew that car knows that everybody knew that I was coming because you heard it from miles down the road. But for 6 months, that car got us around incredibly. And in fact, it was, we had the car before we were married because I'd drive to Wales in the car. And the speedometer didn't work. I'm not sure whether that was even legal to drive it. But I had a sat-nav that I would take the reading of the speed off the sat-nav, and the Lord looked after us. I remember 6 months later. Sorry. That car died. I knew it wasn't going to pass its next MOT. Not sure it passed the one that it had when I bought it. But the Lord was good. And I remember needing to catch a bus. I was going to the Meadows at the time to run a kids' club. And I got on the bus and I'd said to myself, when I got on the bus, I need to buy an Evening Post when I get back into town. And I felt almost an audible voice on the bus that said this to me, you do not need an Evening Post. Well, me being me, being the obedient soul that I am, I went and bought an Evening Post. And I can remember to this day, it was 32 pence. I don't know how much an Evening Post is now, but it was 32 pence. I took the 32 pence from my... What was that, sorry? Did someone tell us the price? Oh, no. I took the 32 pence out of my pocket. I owned it to the guy in one of these little booths that was selling them. And as I handed over that money, my phone rang. And it was a friend of ours. And he said to me, have you heard about your car? What are you going to do? And I said, well, I've just bought an Evening Post. And I kid you not, these were his words. He said, you do not need an Evening Post. And a few days later, a newer car than we'd given away was on our driveway, all paid for, debt-free, because of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. And we've tested it. We've seen it. We know that he is able. Because everything that we have, he owns it. There's nothing that we have that's not his. And Samar and I have faithfully tithed on our income every month. And you know what? Sometimes it'd be wrong of me to think, do you know what? We could do something else with that money. We have. But we've never questioned it once. And we've always generously given. Just like you, also offerings, missions, internally and externally, through the house. You see, it's not about the amount, but it's about the attitude. Samara told a story a few weeks ago about when she was given some money and she really needed it just for her general upkeep, just her living stuff. Wasn't a lot of money in the college, but she gave it away. And out of that, the Lord paid for the 3 years of her education and provided for her with all that she had. I heard a story recently, I don't know whether it's true or not, but the source is pretty reliable, of a guy who had sat down one evening and counted up all the pots of money that he had, his retirement pot, his savings pot, his current account pot, what he had in his hands. And the Lord said to him, how much money do you have? And he said, you know I know how much money you have. And he felt challenged to give it all away. To give it all away. And he was obedient. And 18 months later, the Lord had blessed him and had returned all that he'd given away. And I'm not asking you to give away everything. But the widow's mite signifies something of, it's not about the amount, it's about the heart. Jesus said she gave more than everybody. But you see, as we bring our offering to God, it is someone else's miracle. The boy brought his 5 loaves and his 2 fish, and it fed a multitude of people. It was his offering, his peace that he could bring. It wasn't a lot, but when Jesus stopped, he looked up and he thanked the Father for the provision of what he'd given. And you know what I want to say to you is this morning, make sure that when you're paid at the end of the month or when you receive your pension pot or whatever it is, make sure you look up. Make sure that we're saying thank you to him for all that we have, because it's all from him. And more importantly, it's all for him. They sold property, we read in these verses, and possessions to give to everyone who had need. As we see needs around us, let's make sure that we're doing whatever he asks us to do. We can never outgive God. He has our hearts. He has our treasure. So how should I give? Firstly, let me cheerfully. But let me say, with integrity. We can't hide anything from him. He knows everything that we have. There's no pot, no possession, no amount of time, no talent that we have that we can hide from him. And he's given it to us because he requires it. I want to say to you to give with consistency. It'll really help us moving forward as we budget and as we just believe God for all the things that we are going to believe God for. To give with consistency into the life of the church. And if you're able to gift aid, and you don't already, can I encourage you to do so? It gives us 25 pence back in every pound at no additional cost to yourself. And lastly, let's give with faith. Can I invite the worship team to come back this morning? When I was preparing for this morning, I felt the Lord take me to the account of the water being turned into wine. And there's a little phrase in the middle of these chapters that says this: do whatever he tells you. I want you to forget all of what I've said this morning. Some good principles. I believe God's really helped me to bring that to you this morning. But in all of what you've heard this morning, don't do something because you've heard it from me. Don't do it because you've seen God do something in me. I want to really say to all of you, just do whatever you hear him asking you to do. You're just obedient to him. You see, I debated whether to share this with you, but I'm going to. When we teach like this, the Lord has a habit of making sure that what you're teaching, you really believe. So I don't tell this story this morning because I want to make us look good. I tell this story because I just simply heard him. And I was obedient to what he told us, or we were obedient to what he told us to do. You see, it is our heart to lead by example. I don't preach this because I expect you to, and I don't. I bring it because this is something that he longs for all of us. But this week, I felt the Lord say to me, as I told you at the start, it all belongs to me. And then a little bit later on in the week, I was listening to something, and they were talking about their vision. And behind them on the screen, it had some numbers. And I felt the Lord say to me, I want you to give that amount. Now, let me tell you, I'd be lying if I didn't say, can I put a decimal point there? Can I just move those figures around somewhere? But this week, the Lord allowed us to give a sacrificial gift of thousands of pounds into someone else's vision offering. I talked to God about it. I said to them, Lord, I could do with that in our bank account at People's Church. I could give it to missions. I know this person that wants to do that, this person that wants to do that. And I tried to justify it. And yesterday morning in the car, Samara had been working lots of the week, was our first opportunity to properly sit down. And I said to Samara, I said, I want to talk to you about something. I feel the Lord has asked us to do this. And she said, well, do it. And all that we are encouraging you to do this morning is to do whatever he asks you to do. And out of our generosity, you know, we want to be generous as a church. My friend Jeff said it already this morning. We're not here to make a profit. And by the grace of God, we believe that we will finish the year with money in the bank to help us to move forward. But in all the things that he is asking us to do, we all need to step up. We all need to give what we can. And we all need to believe for other people to join us on the journey so that we can do all of what he's calling us to do. Life groups, Alpha, toddlers, the well-being, missions, discipleship. All of these things cost. And it's going to take all of us, with all of our time, with all of our talent, and with all of our treasure. The amounts will differ, but the sacrifice is the same. We want to make sure that we continue to invest in missions, that we look after our staff team that we have here and we pay them well. We took a step of faith just a month or so ago to raise those salaries, and we want to go a step further in the new year to have all the resources that we have that we can do all that he has called us to do. But whatever he tells you to do, do it. Just in your quiet time, maybe just here right now, Whatever he says, do it. Because let me just finish with this. I have tested him. And I have found him incredibly faithful. And I know that you can trust him with everything that you have. And I just sensed, as I prepared for this, that maybe someone has been hurt in the past. I don't know whether it's related to your time or your treasure or your talent. And it's caused you to anchor up. Don't give for the applause of man. We don't give to people. We give to him. And all that we have is his. Test him and see that he is good. Father, I thank you. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for every person in the room this morning. Thank you for an incredibly generous people. Father, I just pray that you would help us to be faithful to you. That, Lord, as we recognize this morning that all of what we have comes from your hands. And Lord, you continue to pour into our lap so that we can be a blessing to others. Lord, show us this week, I pray, who you would have us to bless. May we, Lord, be open-hearted, open hands, to see all of what you have to bless someone in the name of Jesus. Amen.